Clearly, Glyn's told you to do something which I have no idea what it is. Greet each other. Hello. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you that you love us. Lord, when we were a long way from you, when we didn't know you, you chose to give your son in our place. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. Thank you, Lord, for giving your life as a ransom for us. And thank you again, Lord, for those that have given their lives so that we might have freedom. Amen. We're going to read from the Bible. And we have two passages. So if you have a Bible, if you don't have a Bible and would like one, there should be some on the bookshelves on either side of the back. So if you would like one, please grab one. If you don't have one and somebody wants to pass them around, that would be good. So we're going to read, first of all, from Psalm 119. And those of you who are familiar with that psalm, don't panic. We're not going to read it all. We're going to read a portion of it. Okay, so if you have a church Bible like this one, it's page 737. We're going to read Psalm 119, and we're going to start at verse 101. I obey your word instead of following a way that leads to trouble. You have been my teacher, and I won't reject your instructions. Your teachings are sweeter than honey. They give me understanding and make me hate all lies. Your word is a lamp that gives light wherever I walk. Your laws are fair, and I have given my word to respect them all. I am in terrible pain. Save me, Lord, as you said you would. Accept my offerings of praise and teach me your laws. I never forget your teachings, although my life is always in danger. Some merciless people are trying to trap me, but I never turn my back on your teachings. They will always be my most prized possession and my source of joy. I have made up my mind to obey your laws forever, no matter what. I hate anyone whose loyalty is divided, but I love your law. You are my place of safety and my shield. Your word is my only hope. And then reading again, this time from the New Testament, from John's Gospel. Again, if you have this Bible, it's page 1200. And 79. And we're going to read from verse 1. So John chapter 1. In the beginning was the one who is called the Word. The Word was with God and was truly God. From the very beginning, the Word was with God. And with this Word, God created all things. Nothing was made without the Word. Everything that was created received its life from him. And his life gave light to everyone. The light keeps shining in the dark, and darkness has never put it out. God sent a man named John, who came to tell about the light and to lead the people to have faith. John wasn't that light. He came only to tell about the light. The true light that shines on everyone was coming into the world. The Word was in the world, but no one knew him, though God had made the world with his word. May God bless his word to us this morning. What does the Bible mean by the phrase, the word of God? There it is. Okay, so the word of God. Got a microphone in my hand. I'm ready and waiting for anybody to put their hand up and offer. Paul.
I might as well start at the top. The word of God, Jesus himself.
Okay, so Jesus himself. Anything else? Diana.
Can I have two?
Yeah.
His spoken word and his written word, written through man.
Okay, so the spoken word and the written word. So I'm guessing that might mean the Bible?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. Anybody else? Margaret.
Spoken by the prophets.
Okay, so the word spoken by the prophets. Yeah, and it's all of those things. Okay, but so much more as well. So if you have your Bible, if you've still got your finger in John's Gospel, if you'd like to turn on a few pages. So John chapter 20. If the Bible is like the one that we use, you'll see there that the title of that passage is something like Why John Wrote His Book. So John chapter 20, verse 30. I probably didn't say that, I apologize. But the heading is something like Why John Wrote His Book. And it says this, many other signs, therefore, Jesus also performed in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book. But these have been written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. So John starts by introducing Jesus in John 1:1. In the beginning, the Word. We're doing a series about the names of God. And last week we talked about God, or Jesus being the Son of God. And this morning we're thinking about the Word. And as we run up to Christmas, some of these things will be used in the readings that we have, but we may not always kind of understand why we use those words or why they're in the Bible in that particular way. So very clearly, John, at the beginning of his gospel, lays out what he sees as a fact, that in the beginning was the Word. And it's not a coincidence that John starts his gospel in a very similar way to what the Bible kind of starts off, the story that's laid out in the Old Testament, in Genesis, talking about creation. It was a deliberate act by John to show his readers who Jesus was. The fact that Jesus was and is the Word, and that he was with God at the beginning as creation happened. What we need to do is perhaps to understand a little bit more about why John uses that phrase. So I want you to imagine that we're back in the Old Testament, and this side you're all good Jews, and this side you're going to be the Gentiles. And you stand kind of just as you are, because who do you, you're nothing. Okay, the word translated into our language, the word in this passage is logos. And it was common to Greeks and to Jews. Okay, so the Greeks would have been the Gentiles like us. The Jews were part of the people that Jesus was part of. And this word was common in Greek philosophy and common amongst Jews. So in the Old Testament, if you look at the Psalms, if you go to Psalm 33:6, the Lord made the heavens and everything in them by his word. And the same thing is coming out there as was in Genesis. In Psalm 119, where we were reading before, in verse 89, it states, "Our Lord, you are eternal. Your word will last as long as the heavens." So for Jesus, sorry, for John, for his Jewish readers, by introducing Jesus as the Word, John is giving a sense of pointing them back to the Old Testament, where the Logos, or the Word of God, is associated with the idea of God's revelation being understandable to humans. So we've mentioned prophets, we've mentioned the written word, we've mentioned the word of God coming directly to people. The Bible becomes more understandable because it is the word of God, because Jesus was that living word. And in the same way, in Greek philosophy, the term logos was used to describe an intermediate agency. Okay, that sounds a bit difficult, but basically what it's saying is, in Greek philosophy, logos was the kind of go-between between God and man. And by reading it, the Gentiles would have understood that Jesus was the one who worked in this world between us and God. If you like, logos would have been a bridge between God and the universe, by which we would be able to have a relationship with God. So essentially, what God is doing by introducing Jesus as the Logos is drawing upon a familiar word, a familiar concept for all of the people who would have read his gospel. They would have been familiar with that starting point as he introduced them to Jesus Christ. But he goes further than that. Because if you imagine, if you were Gentiles at that time, just to say, well, this Jesus was the go-between between God and man. That had already happened. If you think about the prophets, they had already been God's messengers. And Jesus was much more than that. If you think about how John records the words of Philip, or Jesus' words to Philip, Jesus said to him, to Philip, "Have I been so long with you, and yet you have not come to know me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. How do you say, 'Show us the Father'?" That's from John 14. So by using this term logos, or word, John is applying a concept that says that Jesus was and is God. So, okay, that's fine. We understand that from an Old Testament term, that the word came through prophets, came through the written word. We understand that Jesus was introduced as the word. What about for us? What about the 21st century? What difference does it make to us? In Philippians 4:9, Paul says this: whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. When we apply the Bible, God himself will be with us. Or to put it a different way, if we absorb the Bible, if we make that a part of our focus, the living word will dwell in us. So what can we do? What sort of things can we do to get that into our lives? Maybe the first step towards applying God's word in our lives is actually reading it. Actually spending time on a regular basis reading the word. Because our goal in reading the Bible is not just a historical book. It's not just, oh yeah, that was a nice story of Zacchaeus or of Noah or anybody else. But actually to understand his purpose for this world and his purpose for us as individuals. In reading the Bible, we learn about God's interactions with humanity throughout history. We read about the redemption that he had planned for each and every person. We read about his promises. We read about his character. We see what the Christian life looks like. We can gain knowledge just by reading the Bible, and it should serve as a foundation for applying those principles to our lives. Again, Psalm 119, verse 11 says this: I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. What does it mean, hiding? Let's think about the word hidden or hiding. What does it mean? What would you do if you hide something? Diana. Okay, or you might put it in a safe place. Yeah, if you had something valuable, you might lock it away in the safe, which is inside another room, which is also locked, which is inside your house. Or you might say, well, I've got some treasure, and I want to make sure that that stays safe. Or you might say, well, what I want to do is to make sure that nobody gets that thing, so I will keep that with me all of the time. What if we carried the Bible, not just in our hand, but in our head? So one of the things that we can do to hide the word in ourselves is to learn some of it, to study it, to memorize it, to meditate on it. So one of the things that we can do is to maybe have four steps in what we do. So first of all, we can read the Bible, and that's good. Maybe then what we need to do is to study the Bible, to actually get underneath, not just to read a few verses, but actually to read a whole passage or a whole book, to maybe get a commentary or to talk to somebody else about what we've read and ask questions. Who wrote it? Why did they write it? What was going on in that situation? And maybe if you can, to memorize some of those verses so that you can carry them with you in whatever situation you're in, that you have something that you can draw on as your strength. And to meditate. When we think of meditation, I don't know about you, but I often kind of think of these kind of people from other religions who go into this sort of trance-like mode and meditate. It doesn't mean that. What it means is to keep going over and over those verses, over and over again, to meditate on them, to make them a part of our lifestyle, to think about them consistently, so that they not just words in our mind, but actually they then transfer as we put them in ourselves and they become a part of how we live. That's why the psalmist says, I've hidden your word in my heart. Why? That I might not sin against you. That actually by following God, by putting his word into ourselves, that we become more and more the people that God has called us to be. So as we move towards Christmas, as we think about Jesus, the Word who became flesh, we can also think about the Word that we have, the written down Word. It's not just contained in a book, it is a living Word. It is something that we can carry with us day by day. It can make a difference in our lives, make it a part of our day-to-day life. That living Word. Father, we thank you. Thank you for the Word. The Word that became flesh. The Word that was totally God and totally human. The Word that lights our path. The Word that lives in us. Help us, Lord, not just to have head knowledge, but help us, Lord, to live it out as we draw closer to you, as we follow you day by day, as we hide your word in our hearts. Would you help us to be the people that you have called us to be? That we would be a reflection, as you are described, as the light shining in the darkness. As we have you in us, would you help us to shine in our dark world? We might be a reflection of your glory to the people that we meet, to the people that you put in our path, that we might show your love and your compassion to each one, just as you have loved us. Amen.